accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The session is titled, I forget what it's titled, but I'm calling it, The Lies and Fantasies That Will Keep Me in This Disease. I don't know what it was called on the form, but that's similar.
The lies we tell ourselves.
The lies we tell ourselves. Thank you, Mary. That's good. And a timer, how long am I going to talk? 15 or 20 minutes?
This time, too.
All right. All right. I can time myself, actually. Will you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is it 10 or 15 minutes?
15 or 20, I'm sure.
15 to 20. Let me know at 15 when I have 5 minutes left.
All right. We'll do.
Hi. This is going to be a pretty personal talk because I feel only qualified to talk about my own experience. I've been in program about 9.5 years. I was absent for the first 3 years or so. Actually, it was 2 years and 11 months and 14 days. And then I wasn't. And then I was in relapse. And that relates to what we talked about at that last meeting. Relapse is hard. And I do have a therapist who says, well, one way you know you're an addict for sure is if you relapse. Because if you're not an addict and you try to stop using something and you're able to, then maybe you're not. But relapse doesn't have to be part of our story in this program. But I had like 120, before program, came into program when I was 60 years old. I'd had like 120 pound weight loss, an 80 pound weight loss, a 60 pound weight loss, another 80. Hi, Melanie.
Is this the 10 o'clock meeting?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I hope so. right now, today, I'm abstinent for about 10 months. I have an overall weight loss of about 90 pounds. Along the way, surprise, surprise, I continued to work with the sponsor, work the steps. I kept coming to meetings, and I continued to believe that OA was the solution for me. One of the few things that I did believe, I guess, because I knew that everything else I had ever tried to do on my own wasn't the solution. I had a lot of evidence. Which I could bore you with, but it's not necessary. And that, interestingly, when I talk about lies that are personal to me, when I first came to OA and there would be people in meetings and they would say, I'm in relapse, and my head would go to this whole thing like, I could never come to a meeting if I was in relapse. I could never, if I start using food again, like I was suddenly swept clean, and that's never going to happen to me again, but if it does, I'm sure as hell not going to show up here because I won't belong here. And it took me, I don't know how many times, hearing the only qualification for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Not what the scale says, not what anyone else thinks, not what my doctor thinks I'm supposed to weigh. And I have to admit, I didn't have that desire when I came into program. I wanted to be thin. I had a little bit of an interest in health, fairly small one, but I had a little bit of an interest in health. But I didn't really have a desire to stop eating. If someone had said, I can tell you, people alluded to this in the last meeting, there's a way you can eat all that stuff and still stay thin. If it wasn't something that scared me to death, I would have thought that that was the great solution. And so I had a lot of growing and a lot of learning to do. I'm going to tell a quick story. It's a fabrication. Just see if you can hear any lies in this little story. So I go into my Schnucks store. I'm a Schnucks girl. I go into Schnucks and I turn right and I'm in the midst of the floral department. I don't smell a single flower. But right beyond there is something called the bakery department. And for me, the smell of sugar is inescapable. The hydrangeas are in bloom and I'm going, sugar! Not consciously, but it's what's happening. In the Help Yourself case, I spot my kind of donut. My cart slows down a little. That donut really calls to me, and my cart stops. And so I tell myself, you know, Carol, you don't eat donuts anymore. You've been really good. I don't remember the last time. Is it 6 months? 9 months? Wow, it's been a really long time since I've had a donut. Surely one couldn't hurt today. And I have been good. Maybe a reward is what I need. So did anybody hear any lies in all of that? Some of my favorite, oh, and in that scenario, I'd buy the donut. I don't wait to pay for it. I buy it, I take an empty bag, the donut doesn't go into the sleeve because that's unnecessary. I eat it before I'm through the produce department, and then I go to check out with the empty bag and I pay whatever donuts cost today. I don't even know. Thank you, God. The first lie is my cart slows down. Well, who the hell slowed down? Does the cart slow down? Unless it's got one of those thumper wheels. The cart doesn't slow down. Carol slows down. And I said, the donut really called to me. Donuts are inert. They don't even have voices. The donut has no comment. It doesn't go, there's one. Woo! And you know, they see a slender person go by, so they don't speak up because it's not worth it. They see a mother with a couple of kids go by. Okay, woo! No, the donuts don't call to me. I call to them. And so I wasn't too long in program when I heard myself say that lie. And I realize it's kind of a euphemism. But the reason that we like it so much is because it's a big, big frickin' lie. Donut doesn't call to me. So, another scenario. Oh, and another lie in the first scenario is I can get on my plan, back on my plan tomorrow. Surely one can't hurt. Because there's an embedded lie in there, an implied lie. I think I can only eat one. Because if I could eat one, one wouldn't necessarily hurt. Of course, if I could eat one, I wouldn't be an Overeaters Anonymous. So the notion that I can just eat one, maybe that day, but heaven knows what's going to happen within the night, say the next 72 hours. It's not going to be pretty. So in an alternate ending, and I like this one too, I love these lies, I tell myself, well, I really haven't been absent in any way. Why bother to be good today? What difference does this day make? Why should this day be different than any other day? In the long run, I always fail anyway. So why should I headache myself about this donut today? And I am never going to get control of this weight thing after all. And it's all about weight. It's not what my thinking at all. It's just all about weight. And I don't really deserve to recover. And in that scenario, I buy that donut also. Notice I don't tell myself I'm just going to eat one then. So I'm not sure in that scenario how many I buy. But there's a lot of lies, different results. And so for today, I think about program like the big word for me is change. I read a quote, it was called a Chinese proverb. I have no idea. I think people just put that when they don't know what the attribution is. I don't know who said it, so it must be a Chinese proverb. But anyway, if you don't change directions, you'll end up where you're heading. Well, what? If I don't change directions, I'm going to end up exactly where I'm headed? I used to not want to change directions at all. In fact, I don't know how long it took me in this program to figure out that I had to change. And it wasn't change what was on my plate or in my grocery cart, although that's part of it. But if all I changed that was on my plate or what was in my grocery cart, and I didn't change my thinking and confront the lies that had sustained my disease for 60 years, nothing would change. So then I was on another diet, and then I was doomed to yet another failure and another batch of self-loathing and all of that crap that goes along. Better not to lie, better not to try in the first place, that's scenario number two, than try and then fail by Thursday. So I figured out I had to change. And it's been about the last year and a half or so that I've become willing and able to begin to change by facing some lies. And I just wrote here, I said, for decades, I supported my self-destructive eating, my spiritual bankruptcy, my arrogance, and my self-loathing with lies. They were convenient. I enabled myself by telling the same lies over and over again. And so in step one, when I accept powerlessness and unmanageability, there's a change, because I always believed the lie that more and more personal power and control was my only solution. More power. More power. More control. Try again, work harder, spend more money, go after it more vigorously. Be more aggressive. Because that would be the solution. I believed it, and I'm not saying I was lying to myself when I believed it, but I had to come to believe that that was wrong, that was an untruth for me. Step two, came to believe in a higher power and believe in a restoration to sanity. I didn't believe in a traditional God, but then I equivocated. But if there is a traditional God, surely my little weight problem is far too small for that God to worry about. So, number one, there's no God. Number two, well, maybe there's a God. But he doesn't want to, you know, there's wars and things going on. What the hell does my weight problem? Why should I bother that kind of power with my personal problems? In step three, I let go and let God, changing my will and my life. My will means my thinking. My memories are littered with lies. There's the actual facts, which are sometimes suspect. But also, there's the lies embedded in the reaction I had to the facts. Years ago, something happened. Years ago, I reacted. Or last week, something happened, and last week, I reacted. And in my replaying of those situations, I have become completely blameless. And in fact, a victim. And the person or the institution that interfered in my life has become really evil and horrible. And so then I can pity myself. And when I feel sorry for myself, it's the biggest lie of all. Because I abdicate all responsibility for today based on a construct where I've let myself off the hook. When I used to hate myself, I had to let myself off the hook all the time. Because when I hated myself, I couldn't hold on to that. It was too painful. I either had to self-destruct or let myself go, let myself get by with shit. Now, it's the most loving thing in the world to not let myself get by with shit. This is a big surprise. I used to think if I loved myself, I'd just let myself do anything. Oh, Carol. Poor Carol. Poor Carol. Or to call the pizza place. Just get a pizza. You worked hard this week. You know, I had this whole litany of, oh, you're a single mother. Oh, you work so hard. You work 60 hours this week. Blah, you have these, all these bills to pay. Blah, 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 blah. And surely a pizza was the reward in heaven for that. If that's not spiritual bankruptcy, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. That's a big lie. And I'm so grateful now that I don't have to lie to myself as much. By the way, to say that I've become like this totally honest person, big lie. The biggest lie of all is that I catch them all. But right now, I'm interested in catching them. I'm interested in observing my thinking, stepping back. What was the thought that led to that thought that led to that possible action? And evaluate it in a kind, loving, and accepting way. Not a, oh, you're a bad girl. It's a lie, too. I'm not a bad girl. I'm a good person. I just want to share.
Just almost done?
Okay. I won't read the whole how it works in the first chapter in how it works in the big book is all about honesty. I love this. There are those who do not recover. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And that's not honest about, oh, I had 5 ounces of chicken instead of 4 ounces of chicken, although that's part of it. But it's this other stuff. It's the lies that perpetuate the disease and all of the craziness that goes with it. Took me a long time. A friend of mine in program says his disease has a superpower, and that superpower is imposing forgetfulness. So he forgets he has a disease. And then he does, you know, whatever he wants. And I thought my superpower, the disease, my disease's superpower was that it had the ability to fool me. It was me. I was the liar. I was the one perpetuating all of the false beliefs that let me off the hook, indulged me, got me what I wanted, and soothed my anxiety or my lonely spirit or whatever in the world needed soothing on that day. I've got just a list of lies, and I'll go over them real quickly. You all know them. Well, no, let me not say, that's a lie. You don't all know them, but some of them might sound familiar. Food-related lies. One little bite won't hurt a thing. I paid for it. I might as well eat it. I tried to pull that one on myself the other day. Tasting as I cook is an obligation, and it doesn't hurt anything. How could I serve something I haven't tasted first? I've been making that meatloaf since 1967. Probably tasted the same way it did last time. Someone made something especially for me, so I have to eat it. Get breakfast today, so I can have something special for lunch. Didn't have my breakfast, so I can have a slab of ribs and a mountain of potato salad? I don't think so. Weight-related lies. And some of these are self-hating, and some of them are magical thinking. My weight is my only problem. Otherwise, my life would be just fine. If I can just get down to fill in the blank, all my problems will be solved. I have found the opposite of that. All my problems are a lot bigger if I'm not working a program of recovery. They are not solved. They loom large because I've cut off my only way to deal with them in the past was to medicate myself with the substances that are in foods. I've been absent for 2 weeks. I better get on the scale and see how I'm doing. I love a woman at a recent meeting said she ate a healthy breakfast and on the way to work glanced in the reflective glass of a building to see if she looked thinner. Not 60 minutes after she ate her healthy breakfast, she was kind of hoping she looked different. I know that someday I will find the magic book or the pill or the program that will solve the problem for me so I don't have to do the work. When someone laughs, anywhere in public, they're laughing at me. They're laughing at me. I didn't get the promotion at work because I'm fat. Everyone finds fat people disgusting. I just have a few more. These are some self-pitying ones. I deserve a treat. What do I deserve? Do I deserve to love myself and take care of my health and look after my well-being? Never been able to do that, but that's what I believe I deserve right now. In my interactions with other people, I deserve the same some kind of special advantage because I'm overweight. It's like a handicap in golf. I got a handicap, and no one understands. No one knows how hard my life is. Just a couple more. I'm a worthless piece of shit. I'm not deserving of anything, recovery, love, peace of mind, my higher powers care. I'm just not deserving of anything. And finally, if I achieve a normal body weight, I'll have achieved everything recovery has to offer. Not even close. So those are just some lies. Those are the lies that keep me in this disease. Those are the lies that still pop into my head daily, hourly. Minutely, I don't know if minutely's a word, but they're there, they're just rolling around, and I've been given the grace to notice some of them and not respond in the old ways. So that's all I've got. Thanks. Oh, and I'm probably supposed to read something now, but I'm so compulsively tidy that I had to put that away. Okay. I already skipped something. The session's being taped without being edited. Anyone who wishes to remain anonymous should use a fictitious name, so if you decide to share, you have that choice. We request that two headers, that is OA members affiliated with related facilities or other anonymous programs, speak only their personal recovery as OA members at an OA meeting in order to avoid, help OA avoid endorsement of outside enterprises. In the sharing, please stick to the topic of the meeting. Anyone wishing to share, never mind. Do not line up by the podium because there isn't one. Pitches are limited to 3 minutes to allow as many to share as possible. Speaking implies your release to the taping company for the recording. We're now open for sharing.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm a compulsive overeater. The lies I tell myself are the opposite kind of lies. That I tell myself negative things about myself that are lies, that are that I'm worthless, that nobody would want to read what I write, that nobody would want to listen to me speak, that nobody would, that people are going to judge me in a certain way, and so it's not the lies that it's not the lies like I do lie sometimes about food or whatever, but it's always more about how worthless I'm feeling and how if I can get a real true. I showed everybody a picture of Ella, and I'm going to see her next week, and I love her. She's 5 years old and she's precious, and my higher power has let me know that the way you feel about Ella is the way I feel about you. And that if I could really understand that, that's the lie that I tell myself the most, is that I'm not lovable. And that's the worst lie. And that leads to all the rest of the lies. And so you talked about change. The changes are subtle and huge, and you don't know where they're going to come from, but they're amazing. And I'm just really grateful that I don't have to live in the lies that I told myself my whole life, that I can rewrite my truth. And the truth is that I'm a pretty good person. And that almost everybody here did not think, oh, hell, she's here. Which is a lie I tell myself. Seriously, it's like, and you know, so I don't know. I'm just really grateful. You can really tell a difference between trying to be in recovery and being in recovery. And I'm just really grateful to be in recovery today. And I'm going to have to leave. I have an 11 o'clock meeting that I do on the phone, so I'm going to have to leave and go move my stuff into the room and stuff. But I'm just really glad everybody's here, and thanks.
Thank you, Cindy.
I'm Mary, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Mary. Mary.
Thanks, Carol. That was really enlightening. All the lies. I wrote, the lie I tell myself is, since I've been here a long time, is that I've been here long enough, and I say things like, I know all that stuff already, I know all that shit, and I've been here this long, tell me something new, you know, is there anything new I can learn, you know, I'm good about learning and taking notes, but it apparently isn't sinking in, I don't know it all because I'm not putting it into action. And I loved when you said, if you don't change directions, you'll end up where you're headed. That light hit me right between the eyes. And when you said, I never thought about, I enable myself by telling myself the same lies over and over again. Had some really eye-opening things to say. And I, too, believe that this is the solution and this is the only place. When I start wandering and watching TV and seeing slim 180 and all those things that are so quick. And now I'm on Facebook, and there's everything on Facebook where you can drink this solution and go to bed with it and wake up skinny in the morning. And you know, I know in the smart part of my brain that that's not true, but there's that part of me that wants that. I want to go to bed and wake up skinny tomorrow morning, you know. And I realized that in the last couple of weeks that I'm getting lazy. I was just saying before, gosh, I've been here long enough. I'm tired of working. I'm tired. Can't you just give it to me, God? Just zap me, and I promise this time I'll do it. I'll do it the right way. I'll do what you want me to do, you know, which I know is just that disease, you know, telling me that. But and the one little bite can't hurt, you know. And I have to change my thinking. That's what you said. I have to change my thinking and confront the lies. That nothing changes if nothing changes. So thank you so much. It was a great talk. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary.
I'm Jerry, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jerry.
About 15 years ago, I stopped smoking, and all of a sudden, I could taste food. I thought, wow, what have I been missing? And I think men have a little different viewpoint on overeating, because a lot of times, overweight is viewed as being affluent, and, you know, you're doing well in life. You know, if you're really skinny, why, you know, that means you're probably poor and can't afford food. But, you know, if you're overweight, why, you know, there's really not such much the social stigma attached to it with men, I don't think, as it is with women. So I didn't really worry about it for quite a while. And before I knew it, I gained about 25 or 30 pounds. And, you know, I started having some health consequences, and my knees started hurting. And, you know, I started looking at, you know, why am I eating so much? And I'm a really sucker for, I baked this especially for you, and I'm going to offend somebody if I don't eat everything on the plate that was prepared, and one more bite won't hurt. Well, we have to clean this up. We can't put it away. You know, things like that. And I try to blame a lot of this on my wife. You know, she brings this stuff home from the grocery store, and it's like, well, I bought this. I know you like this. Well, I know I like it. That's the trouble. And one day she said, well, if you don't want that, I want you to just throw it away. And I walked over and I threw it away. I thought she was going to die. She never bought that particular item again. But she's, you know, there's still stuff that appears in the house, and nobody holds me down and forces it in me. And I have a big problem with accepting responsibility for my own eating. You know, it's always somebody else's making. But anyway, thanks for your talk, and that's all I have.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
And I thought of all the times that I told
told myself a lie, that I had to twist myself into stretching, pretzel myself into these different positions so that somebody else would consider me acceptable. That the lie was that was necessary, that that was the price I had to pay, was to not be me. And sometimes I can still fall into that, you know, corollary that I recently had the indication to see differently was believing that how I got liking and acceptance was to do stuff, was to be good at something, to be to achieve or to do something for you by retrieving, you know, whatever. And when I moved, of course, I didn't have a title, I didn't have a place that I was doing or giving, and I was uniformly mad with nothing but love and acceptance and welcome. And I had to look at the idea of maybe that people welcomed me because I was sad, not because I'd done this, that, and the other thing. But it was not a lie. And the other two was the lie and the truth. And the last one that came to mind is, I know there's a reading in Portuguese someplace, and I don't remember the page at all, as the lie of saying that if I wasn't living free of this particular defect or this particular bad habit or whatever, then obviously I wasn't getting anywhere, I wasn't making any progress. And the thing that I'm going to misquote with the gist of was a quote from Anne-Marie Lindbergh that said that duration isn't a measure of truth, because the sunset is beautiful even though it's short. And every moment that I'm able to act like the person I have power created to me be other than the person that still bears the effects of all the lies and ways that the disease has warped me, every moment, every nanosecond that I live as a free woman is a moment of truth. And those are just as real as the things that are minutes and hours and months and years. And I just know that I get more and more of those nanoseconds that sometimes combine into full seconds and minutes even. And I'm so grateful that there's just more of them. And we're closer together to that all pass.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Melanie. Hi, I'm Cindy, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Cindy.
And yeah, I know all these lies, and I have a few others that are, you know, like, that's one serving.
Yeah.
In this cartoon, the potato was as big as the inside of the oven, and she's looking at her husband, and she says, if I say it's a medium potato, it's a medium potato. And I used to eat those medium, you know, potatoes. And the bigger the potato was, the happier I was, given what I don't eat today. Because there was no big enough potato. You know? There's a lot of things that there's no big enough. And so I just want to share this because I've been around for a long time and I've been abstinent for a good long time, and I just don't believe that that's going to happen again, you know, the falling off the tracks, but that could be a lie too. But I know that I do everything I can to stay in that spiritual place. But the other day we went to the big box store. We bought my husband's stuff. He has a shelf and his stuff is up there because he's the most normal eater I've ever known, you know, and he puts it up there and he forgets it's up there. I make sure there's something up there for him. I have to say, I don't enable him because he's not an addict, but I live vicariously. day, I had noticed the sparkly stuff as you walk in the store, because it's all out there with the little ears and stuff. Mm-hmm. I had noticed all of that. I just, you know, and I was kind of irritable, restless, and so I noticed all the different foods, and they were baking something when they were in the store. I smelled the sugar and all that. But anyway, so I'm putting that stuff away, and I thought, I have not had one of these for 17 years. I have not had one of these for 17 years. I wondered what that would be like, and I thought, you can't have one, because you want half that box at least. And I thought, well, true. Absolute truth. I am still freaking compulsive over here. And today, just for today, I'm not going to take that risk. Because I have been blessed so much better than what that food ever gave me. This is a disease of self-loathing. And man, I can eat that little bite and I will hate you. So I'm not going to have that fight just because I might have been having a bad day. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
I'm Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Betty.
One of the lies I told myself when I first came in at 300 pounds was, and at 55 or 57, I couldn't lose weight. My body was impossible to lose weight. I mean, I was pretty sure of that. So, but that did not turn out to be true. The other one is that I'm a bad person. Simply because you line me up with everybody else. If I'm the biggest woman in the room, the biggest woman or person in the room, I'm also the worst person. Now, where does that come from? Lots of places. Other people, magazines, TV, whatever. That's why I think a lot of times, I'm just saying, I mean, I heard this one time. I heard this absolutely in a meeting where this woman said, her boss said, now let's make sure that we hire fat people because we can get them to stay and work longer. We'll just order pizza or bring in donuts or do all that.
Gosh.
So where does that come from? You know, are there people out there that are pushers and things like that? I don't know. But so I don't want to think of myself as a bad person. I don't think I'm, I know I'm not a bad person. But I'm not so sure society doesn't think I am. So I have to I learned this too in the program, that it doesn't matter what other people think. Well, sometimes it actually does. But for the most part, it really doesn't matter what other people think. And I really don't know what other people are thinking, for sure. But then when somebody shares that, it makes you wonder. But the losing weight, that was definitely a lie. So. And everything you said, Carol, I think I've thought of that way too. I like that you had more than just one way. I could lie this way or I could lie the other way. Yep. So thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Betty.
I'll answer that. I used to tell myself that fat people are more efficient at work, because we can always figure out the shortest way to get someplace so we didn't have to walk as much. And that obviously made us better employees.
Thanks,
I liked what you said about it's not about the weight, it's about what, is it about my weight or my thinking? I think that was really helpful, you know, with the lies. Because as a person can be all kinds of places with their weight and where they are, but if their thinking is sound, it's going to be all right. So thanks for sharing.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Hi, I'm Nicole Silver-Eater.
Hi.
And when you were reading through, you know, the lines at the end, or sorry, someone was talking about things online, and you see commercials, and you see all these things, and you know, there's this wrap thing now, where you like wrap your body. This is ridiculous. You like wrap your body up in cellophane, in the plastic wrap. You know, like a mummy. You like wrap up your midsection, and then you like I don't know. You sweat, or you like wear it to bed, or something like that, and you sweat, and then it's supposed to like help you release all of this toxins and all this, and it's total crap. Okay, like it's crap, and I know it's crap, but there are all these different sort of like, you know, Rodan and Field, and like all these different really real brands who sort of you know you can get this stuff from, or you can, you know, do the plastic wrap at home yourself. But I know that it's crap, just like I know a lot of things, like quick fixes and the there's, you know, the pills that you go to Walgreens and you get these pills and you think, well, come on, these have got to be, you know, at least kind of healthy if they're selling them at Walgreens, or they're got to be kind of okay, and I know that all of that stuff is nonsense, and yet the lie I tell myself sometimes is like, well, maybe someone is onto something, right? Like, well, maybe that is it, you know. And even though I know it's all complete nonsense, the other day I was online and something came across and I thought, oh, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look into that. And then I thought, well, gosh, like, why do I need to believe the lie that there's something out there that could still be it? You know, like, I know that there's not anything like a pill or a number you can call or food they can send you in the mail, which just sounds like a terrible idea in and of itself, but you know, why do I still need to be true? And I think that the reason I need to believe that lie is because I still need to believe that I can do something, you know, like I still need to believe that I can take a pill, that I can wrap myself up in cellophane, that, you know, I can go to Walgreens and buy this thing that's, you know, clinically proven to help women lose 30% more weight if they take, you know, blah blah blah. I still need to believe that, like, I can do it myself, that I'm the problem, so I must be the solution. So, that's all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maya.
I used to always believe my doctor's scales were broken.
Carol, I'm still Carol. For I don't know, a couple of months, I guess.
Hi.
For a couple of months, I have been obsessing about lies, and I don't know if anyone else has like the obsessive gene, but I have that, and I right now I don't have the mental obsession about food, so that leaves a vacancy, and so the vacancy was filled by obsessing about lies, and I found lies written on the back of receipts from stores, lies written on, you know, those little cocktail napkins that they put in the booth at a restaurant. And I had this stack of lies on my computer table. I was cleaning my purse and I was just like, there was a pile of lies. But it really became kind of fun. I would be talking to someone and I'd go, oh, excuse me, just a minute. And I would sit down, you know, open my purse, write something back on me, and then I would bring my attention back to them. But it is kind of fun to watch for them, because they're pretty pervasive in my world. And I didn't know how much, and so it's been fun. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my hair's red, right? I mean, it's as stupid as that. It's like, why do you do that? And also the thing about, hey, there's a new thing. I always use some sponsor. Yeah, there's this new thing. Did you see this? And she said, well, why don't you wait about 5 years? It's still out there. It's still working. Anyway, guys. Because it's not going to be up there. I mean, when you watch the progression of all the different things, there's that one thing I know that's never worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, as I always say that.
I don't mean to take the pill.
Yeah.
I just need my right. power to help me with the food plan and some exercise.
Well, you know,
I get that every morning.
There's lies we tell ourselves, but there's lies people tell us too. I mean, I went to a doctor one time and he said, well, just don't eat anything white. Potatoes, bread, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
That's kind of a lie. I mean, you know, people tell us lies too.
My doctor just said don't eat as much.
Don't eat as much. Why don't you think of that?
Duh.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Worked with crazy as hell, so yeah, I know that. I wanted to say about 50, I'm 70, so about 50 years ago, they came out with the Saran Wrap thing.
I thought that was because that's how you're supposed to greet your husband.
It was.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to tell her that.
Yeah, well.
I wasn't going to tell her that.
That wasn't about losing weight,
yeah.
Daddy.
That's true. That's
you're
what
right.
I was just saying.
Sorry. Yeah, that's true. That's
right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It's just that woman.
Wait a minute. That
years
that
later needed, you know.
That group starts at 11.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
On that note, and I think it is time to end because I think we're supposed to have a 10-minute break between sessions. And so, thank you all for coming. We're going to close with, since Cindy provided it for us on the blue sheet, the third step prayer. I know some of you know it, and I know some of you don't. So. We're not singing.
Are you singing it?
Oh,
okay.
We sing it.
We sing it.
Yeah.
No, it's too late to sing now.
Oh, it might be too late for you to sing now. I'm getting ready.
Do people have a place where they can take their eyeballs on it, or they know it already, or whatever?